What's black and white and red all over? A survey of consumer book buying habits just out from the Nielsen numbers people. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. The book world this week is poring over the findings from Nielsen, covering everything from shares of print and digital sales to preferences for digital platforms. Andrew Albany, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, joins me from New York with the good news and the bad news. And welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So indeed, this should make for some pretty interesting reading for everybody in the business. And there's some new trends emerging as far as how customers are reading. And Nielsen has the numbers on that. What do we know?
That's right. In Monday's issue of Publishers Weekly, we will report on the trends revealed in the latest survey of consumer book buying behavior conducted by the good people at Nielsen Books and Consumers. So let's just dive right in because we've got a lot of numbers here. And the two biggest findings, I think, are that first, overall, ebooks accounted for 15% of the spending on new books. And I should explain, when I say new books, I mean backlist and frontlist titles, but not including used books. And that 15% figure is actually up from 12% in 2013. Ebook units, meanwhile, rose at a slightly slower rate, just one percentage point on the year to 21%. And this is something we've touched on in earlier podcasts, that ebook sales are essentially flat. And it appears that digital's slowing growth is probably related to prices. While ebooks remain lower priced than print titles, prices have increased, still notwithstanding. And I think the point to note here is that even though ebook prices for bestsellers remains low, often below that $9.99 price we've spoken so much about, backlist titles are often discounted much less. And ebook editions of backlist titles can be much more expensive, or at least very close to paperback prices.
Well, there's a lot to digest here, and I think one of the numbers that people are going to be looking at most closely is ebook sales regardless. What does the survey tell us about print books?
Well, print accounted for 70% of new book spending in 2014. And while we've heard a lot about and have talked on this show a lot about print's resurgence in recent weeks, that in fact is a 7-point drop from 2013. And again, we've spoken on this show about how the reports that print sales are in fact on the rise probably should be taken with a little bit of caution. That's mainly due, I think, to authors named John Green and Veronica Roth. Certainly the YA market has held up print numbers by and large. Format-wise, the survey shows that the biggest print declines came in trade paperback and hardcover, while mass market paperbacks actually had a slight increase in their share of spending. Again, this is probably related to prices. Cheap mass market paperbacks, which is an endangered format according to a lot of people, are still often cheaper than digital editions. Still, consumers spent the most money on hardcovers in 2014. That accounted for 32% of spending in the year, followed by trade paperback, which accounted for the most units sold, though that total units number fell by 3 points from 30%, I think, in 2013 down to 27% last year. Meanwhile, the audiobook category, if you want some good news, was actually had a pretty solid year. It was actually up about 3% over the year before.
Okay, so that's what people are buying. But what do we know about where people are doing the buying? And how is a certain Seattle-based retailer faring in all that?
Yeah, well, when it comes to revenue, overall, the online retail channel, which includes Amazon, accounted for about 35% of all new book sales, both print and digital, in 2014. And that's actually a decline from 38% in 2013, so down about 3 points on the year. But online retailers actually had a larger share of unit sales. They were actually up and clocked in at about 39% of all units sold. And I think that probably reflects the impact of some of the lower priced ebooks that are out there. But there's bad news here for Barnes & Noble watchers, and that's that, you know, the bookstore chain share of spending fell again from 25% in 2013. 3 points down to 22%, and its share of total units last year was around 21%. So not great numbers there.
Well, in fact, you know, bad news from Barnes & Noble is not really news at all, is it?
At this point, no, not really.
When you have some good news, let us know about that. Well, there's also some interesting finding about digital platforms in the survey, and this points to, again, a shift in consumer preferences that at least Apple should take with great interest.
Yeah, the survey also found that the percentage of ebook buyers who own an Android phone took a big leap in 2014. Fully a third of ebook buyers now say they own an Android phone, and that's up from about 9% over 2013. So that's a big jump. Still, Apple's iPhone was still the digital reading device owned by the most ebook buyers, but its share slowed down. It only rose by about 2 percentage points over 2013, and the same is true of the iPad, only about 2 points up. Dedicated e-reader ownership, meanwhile, also declined in the year, with 21% of ebook buyers saying they owned a Kindle e-reader, and that's down 4 points from 25% in 2013. And I find that number a little specious because, you know, I doubt that 4 points worth of consumers threw away their e-readers. I think probably the number of people taking up e-readers is slow, and that's probably reflected in the survey, but I wonder about that number. But again, that's more bad news for Barnes & Noble, too, because only 9% of ebook buyers say they own a Nook device. And that's down from 12% the year before. There was some bad news for Amazon in these numbers, too, as ebook buyers also showed less interest in Amazon's tablet, the Kindle Fire. Its share dropped by a percentage point in 2014, down to 23%.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to think that Kindle made this market but may not be enjoying that position. And it's also something I would ask whether or not the definitions of e-readers are confusing to the people answering these surveys, because there's so much now that is an e-book reader that wasn't really in the past. And so, as we say, there's a lot to sort of wade through here. You'll give us the full report at Publishers Weekly. And this all comes as the industry prepares for its first major international gathering of 2015, the London Book Fair. Both of us will be there. Look forward to seeing you in London in April. And you have a preview of that. Tell us about that.
That's right. Monday's issue, we will have a preview. The London Book Fair is fast approaching. It's set for April, I think, 14th to 16th. And as usual, we'll have our London preview, which includes reporter and news director Rachel Deal's London Briefcase, which takes a look at some of the titles that will be on the block and the rights dealing that is such a big part of the fair. And this year, we also have a new feature. We actually break out and look at the publishing markets in 7 regions. So if you're curious about the global publishing business, you can check out Monday's issue. And am I right that you and I are actually going to be podcasting together face-to-face in person from London this year?
Well, as I say, looking forward to it. Oh, to be in England now that April's there. And that line will be fulfilled for both of us in just a couple of weeks' time. And, you know, we've got some things the Copyright Clearance Center is sponsoring that I'll share with our audience. One I'm looking forward to, my colleague Victoriano Colodrone, who would occasionally contribute a podcast to the Beyond the Book series over time. He's based in Madrid, and he's going to be presenting what we're all calling around here a TED-style talk that he calls the Copyright Conundrum. And looking at this paradox that publishing faces, that digital has transformed the act of copying from complicated to commonplace, and yet authors and publishers must rely upon copyright as an essential basis for conducting their business. So an industry that has been built on creativity and innovation stands accused of holding to outmoded models purely for survival's sake. So the question that Victoriano will ask in his talk is there any way out of this copyright conundrum? So be there on Thursday, the 16th of April at 10 o'clock in the faculty to hear his answer. And earlier in the week on Tuesday, the 14th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll be moderating another panel on open access, kind of following up on that big blowout we had there at Frankfurt Book Fair. We had something like 9 people discussing the issues of importance to open access publishers. And this time we'll have a group of 4, a quartet, answering the question, you made the move to open access, what's next for your business? So, you know, kinds of topics that people expect to see at a gathering like the London Book Fair, a number of awards, ceremonies, some special lectures, the pre-conference, Digital Minds show. So quite a lot to take in.
Indeed. And yeah, I think probably a lot of what we talked about today, with mainly the ebooks and their share of the market, will be of special interest at the fair this year, and certainly to me, as many of our listeners know. ebook uptake in Europe is generally a little bit behind that of the US. So I'm looking forward to hearing about what some of the trends are with ebooks globally in London this year. And that includes what's going on with ebook lending. I'm also interested in how the fair is going to come off this year in its new home, Olympia. Now, the fair used to be at the Olympia Center, but this is not that Olympia. It's been refurbished, and I had a nice little private tour at the end of the book fair last year. And it really is lovely, I have to say. And we're going to be actually enjoying some natural light. It has this big glass ceiling. So I don't know. Fluorescent light always kind of, you know, caused a problem for me. I feel like it makes me sluggish and stupid. So I'm going to look forward to having a little natural light at Olympia this year and hopefully keep my energy levels up. I'll be covering sessions on self-publishing too, which has been a hit for the last few years at the London Book Fairs. Also, I look forward to the copyright issues you mentioned and open access, some of my favorite topics. And I should remind listeners, too, that if you're in London, you can grab our show dailies on the floor there. And if you're not there, you can read all of our coverage, including the complete digital editions of the show dailies for that day on the Publishers Weekly site. So look forward to seeing you in England.
Indeed. And, you know, natural light at a conference, as you say, is something to really be look forward to, except this is England. So we'll be very lucky indeed if we have that throughout the conference. But Andrew Albanese, thanks so much, as always, for your contribution to Beyond the Book. And we'll see you in London.
My pleasure. Thanks, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.